All right, y'all take the revelation that y'all brought with you today, and let's turn to the book of Proverbs. That's where we're. What we up to? Chapter number two. So whatever the day of the month it will be is going to be where we are in the Proverbs. We're having a little trouble with our copier. So I didn't copy out the reading calendar as of yet, but I sent it out to a good number of you on the phone. But if you can just remember, whatever the day is, that's where we'll be in the book of Proverbs. So we're up to chapter number two. And there are a few things that we want to keep in mind about these proverbial words. I think I shared with y'all in the past that we could look at these proverbs and refer to them. It's usually like this. These are general observations upon the patterns from God's perspective and the wisdom that is gleaned in the men and women around the world, because wisdom, God's wisdom, number one, it's God's wisdom. That's something that we want to keep in mind of, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at a few other passages to just preface for Proverbs. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a few other things that's going to deal with the wisdom that God gives to us so that we can walk skillfully and in harmony with Him. So the word proverb, the idea, it's like this. It's usually like this. Generally, this is how it is. You've heard me say that if it doesn't look like that, it doesn't match up, there's usually another proverb that gives an answer to why it don't look like that. Because these are general observations of men and women about the patterns of their life. Now, one thing when we study them, what we want to do is always connect the relational value to these principles and these proverbs that we find. We all always want to go back to that there is a God behind this. There's a God behind this revelation. And we are seeking His intimacy. We can never replace information for intimacy with God. Because it's in the intimacy of knowing Him and knowing His ways that information from Him just flows into us. So if you really want to know a thing, get to know God. And the only way to know Him, His specific revelation, His most unique revelation, His most clear revelation to us is found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God speaks to men today, in Jesus Christ. I think it was last week we talked about that. Either we're what? In Adam. If we're in Adam, we're still blinded. We're still perishing. We're lost without God. We will perish in that condition until we've been born again. And therefore, when we're born again, now we're in Christ Jesus. We have a whole new nature that takes up residence within us in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when Christ is in us, that puts us in a position to be able to walk and hear and see and know and love and abide in the things that God has for us. Apart from Jesus, that is impossible. That is impossible. So, Proverbs, he starts out the book, if you'll look in chapter number one, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. So he's letting us know right up front, Brother Shannon, where the bulk of these, it's usually like this, this insight from God is coming from Solomon, for whom the Bible says that he was wiser than any man that ever lived, of course, unto Jesus. For Jesus is the wisdom of God personified. For in Christ is our redemption and our sanctification, our righteousness, and God's wisdom. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. So if we want God's wisdom, we got to have Jesus. Amen. Got to have Jesus. But Solomon, the scripture says Solomon's capacity and abilities were supernaturally given to him. And they were so expansive that they were, you couldn't put a limit on them. They were just unusually wise. Now, Solomon teaches us also that you can have wisdom but separate it from God, and you're going to wind yourself, get yourself in trouble. You see, just because you have the principle and know how it works, Brother Shannon, it doesn't mean you're going to be right on the thing, because you got to have the Lord involved in it. That's the relational value that we want to connect to it. The other aspect of this is that he was the son of David. Now, who was David? David was the king over Israel who's had a heart after God. So when we balance a man's heart after God and a mind like Solomon's mind, when we are walking with a heart after God with the wisdom of Solomon found in Christ, we'll be able to see things, perceive things, understand things in this world that just the normal, everyday person can't see. Amen. Now, that is not designed to elevate us in our pride. That is all designed to what? Humble us that we're dependent upon the Lord, and that we can be teachers of this wisdom, that we can express this wisdom, that we can recognize it in other people and be able to walk with the Lord and be a blessing to others as well. So he starts off at the book like this. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. He's given us the reason why he is penning these things. Of course, we know this is inspired of God. So God has this for us. He's given us this for a reason. And it is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand, a proverb and enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And in verse number 7 is something that we really want to really get to know and understand, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, on the other hand, despise wisdom and instruction. Father, we approach your throne again today, and we just ask you for your help. We ask you to speak to us out of this revelation that you've given us, but more importantly, that you speak to us through your Son, Jesus. That as we hear you and heed what you give us, honor what you say, you give us more and more light to be able to walk in this world with your insights, your wisdom, with your prudence, with your discretion. And Lord, that's what we need in these days. That's what I need from you today as we peek into this book you've given us to know, and to know very well, and to live it out from day to day. So Lord, I pray you help us here. We need you, and we need you to teach us. We need you to open our ears and open our heart and our mind to comprehend what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple passages of Scripture to write down to parallel with this, because God gives us some clarity, some clearness on this idea of wisdom and on the fear of the Lord, upon this intimacy, and how we can recognize God, how we can recognize and rejoice in His wisdom, how we can see the reward of it, be able to affirm it. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. In James says, look, just don't take somebody's word. If they tell you they're wise, don't take them at their word on that. He says, wisdom is always affirmable. You can recognize wisdom, and this is how you can recognize it. So just because somebody thinks they're wise, just because somebody says they're wise, doesn't necessarily mean that they're wise. Now, they may be wise in this world, because he's going to make a distinction in James, the difference between a natural, earthly type of wisdom, a skill to know how to do a thing, to know what to do next in a thing. A lot of people have those abilities and those skills. That's a natural thing, but he gives us some ways to identify that which is earthly or natural. And then he says, I'm going to teach you what wisdom looks like when it comes from above. And then he outlines it for us and shows us how we can recognize. So James is an irreplaceable, something you can't substitute on for us to be able to know wisdom, Brother Shannon, and also be able to discern it or see it or hear it in somebody else. Because God doesn't want us to walk blindly in this world. Remember, he wants us to be able to discern, to see a thing, to be able to discern or select what is of God and what's not of God. And that's where God's wisdom will come into play. Just to teach us how to know what to do next and be in harmony with the Lord when we do it. How to take the next step with him and walk with him in faith. Amen. Another passage of scripture. Two Psalms in particular. Psalm 33 and about verse number 18. Psalm 33 and about verse number 18. And Psalm 147 and 11. And the reason we want to bring those passages to light is because it's in God's light that we see light. And the light of the Lord tells us that who are those that fear the Lord? How can you know if you fear the Lord? It's those who are waiting upon his mercy. That they recognize God is God. And because he is God, he's unlike anybody else. He's separate from everything in every quality, in every way. But this God still wants to have intimacy with us, and he can only do that on the basis of his mercy. God is merciful in his holiness with us. Amen? Amen. So when we are waiting upon the Lord in the sense that we're waiting upon his mercy, it's a revelation, Kate. We know who we're waiting on. We know that God has chosen to encounter us, that God has chosen to invade our life. He's chosen to interrupt us in this frail world we live in. And if he's going to deal with me, he's going to deal with me through his mercy and through his grace, which is going to be manifestations of his great and unfailing love toward us, that he's going to walk with us in this world in the sense that, not that he walks with us, but he invites us, Rusty, to walk with him. For us to walk with him. And to walk with him, we need his mercy. Amen. Because none of us, Karen, are going to walk flawlessly with him. Are you with me? None of us are going to be blameless in this walk. We're going to mess up, Pam, again and again and again. We're going to mess up. But God is what? Merciful. His steadfast love in our failure keeps picking me up. Keeps picking me up. Keeps meeting with me. Because when we wait on him, that's saying that we're relying upon him to be merciful with me as he's teaching me how to walk with him in this world that we live in. So I need to know that. I need to know those things. Proverbs chapter 2 is, I believe, a fundamental aspect of really understanding what it takes or a cost to hear and have that wisdom from God. That it's not going to come just because you want it to come. That he sets up some conditions. It's something that you're going to have to fight for. It's something that you're going to have to seek. It's something that you're going to have to cry out for. It's something you're going to have to keep asking God for. It's something you're going to have to want more than anything else in this world, in the sense of you want him and what he has for you in this life. And nothing else can get in the place of it. Nothing else can substitute it. Nothing else can replace it. And it's that kind of pursuit of him is the kind of people that God pours this sound wisdom upon and teaches them how to fear him and walk with him. And there's some little phrases in there. If and if and if. Or you can say this. When and when and when. Then you will glean this from the Lord. So the Lord up front tells us, hey, Do whatever you have to do. Be willing to pay the price. To, as Proverbs 23:23 says, buy wisdom and truth and instruction and understanding and do not sell it. That is simply saying, number one, we're going to learn this morning that wisdom can't be bought. There's no amount of treasure upon this earth that can purchase wisdom. Amen. You can have all the gold that is on this planet, along with all the silver, along with all the precious stones. You can have any and all things of any kind of value that won't perish on this earth. You know, gold that was around in Solomon's day is still around today. Silver that was in those days is still around today in some form or fashion. You may melt it down, you may refine it, you may turn it into something else, but it stays. And that's why God always uses those things like gold and silver and precious stones in comparison to works that last forever. But no amount of wealth, riches, treasures in this world can purchase 1 ounce of wisdom.
Amen.
Not one single ounce. You cannot pay for it. God's got to give it. And He doesn't give it to everybody. But it's available to everybody.
Amen.
But not everybody has it. I want it. Amen. But more than that, I want Him who possesses wisdom and who delivers it and gives it away to those that trust Him and believe Him. Amen. So these are just a couple passages for you to look at, for us to examine. We may talk more about them this afternoon, tonight. But I want you to take the revelation that you brought and turn to Job chapter 28. Let's just take a minute and kind of unfold this idea of the things that people will do and go through to gain treasures and wealth and those types of things. Job is going to give us some great insight. Something to keep in mind is that you've noticed already in your time in Proverbs. Have you noticed how God always refers to wisdom as a she? Anytime wisdom is mentioned in the Scriptures, it's always in a feminine sense. It's always a her or she and what she does and what she has, her. And remember, what we've talked about in the past, we know it's poetic, no doubt, but it goes beyond just poetry. It goes beyond that. It has an eternal meaning to it. It goes back to the foundation. Remember when God created Adam and Eve? And when He fashioned man and He brought everything to man and He realized or He reveals to us that all those things that God created and all those things that He brought to man wasn't sufficient. That man needed a what? A helpmate. A helpmeet. He needed a helpmeet. So what did God do? He put man to sleep, took from man's side, and He fashioned and created what? Another man, but a man with a womb, a woman, a wombed human, a woman. And He gave her unto Adam. And He says that it is not good that man should be alone. So God provided him or gave him a woman. Now we parallel that, and I believe this is the reason why we see wisdom in the feminine sense, is that it's not good that man operate in this world or live in this world or function in this world or walk in this world without wisdom. Just like it wasn't good for Adam to be without a woman, it's not good for Nick Holden to be without God's wisdom. So I need it. Amen?
Amen.
I need it. So He says here, look in Job 28 in verse number 1. Job has given us some insight and says, surely there is a vein or a mine for silver, a mine, a vein in the earth. that silver lies under the stones, a mine. And he says, and there is a place where gold is refined. Verse 2, iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness of the shadow of death. What does man do? He breaks open a shaft. That would be a picture of him mining, going into that vein, which is away from people. He goes looking for it. He had to get away from the crowd. He had to get away from where people live. And he goes away from people in places forgotten by feet. And they hang far from men. They swing to and fro. Now, what is all that a picture of? That's a picture of what men have been doing for a long time. They've been searching the earth for things like silver, things like gold, and things like ore. He goes and he finds a place where he can unearth or get beyond the rocks. He can find a cavern in the ground. Then he goes in with pick. He goes in with a hammer. He goes in with his hands. Now you got to think about it. This was long before they had track hoes and they had dozers and they had log equipment. Long before then, Brother Shannon, they had to go in. This is something that would take manual physical labor to go into the caverns of the earth and mine out these things. Y'all know who even use those types of equipment today, using machinery that can do 10 times, 1,000 times more work than what a single man could do in a given day. It's still difficult to go mine inside the rocks and go up underneath the earth and go find gold and silver or wherever it may be. And when you do that work, is that work dangerous? Amen. Rusty, you been cutting down here? That you cutting, I hear that saw going. Is that dangerous work? Yep. Very dangerous work. You think it was dangerous for them? Going in these dark places and these shadows and how they had to take a light in there, Brother Shannon, because there was no light in there. So they had to light a torch and they had to go into these mines, Keith, to go get this stuff out. And people have been doing it for a long time. You go around Birmingham, they got those old coal mines over there. And they go into the ground and they've been doing that since time, going after these things. And men are willing to risk it, even though it is difficult work to do, even though it's dangerous work to do, even though that all these things, you have to be what? Dedicated. You got to be willing to risk your life to go into these dark places. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what you're coming up on. But men have been willing to go to great extremes and great measures to find treasure.
Amen.
And they found it. There's still more to be unearthed. There's still more treasures to find. And men are willing to pay the price, the cost, even risking everything they have to go get what they believe is wealth and riches and a treasure for them. They've been doing it for a long time. Does that take determination?
Amen.
Does it take a devotion and diligence to do that? Do you have to look past the dangers? Do you have to go past the difficult days and the hard days? Do you imagine it was hard for some of them, Josh, in those days going into some of those places? We don't even want to dig a ditch today. Are you with me? With a shovel, and they was going and busting up rock and going to these places. And just the image that Job is painting, how they would light their torches, they would go into these caves and these caverns and they would search these recesses for the ore in the darkness of the shadow of death, having no idea what they're going for, looking, searching for this. Verse 5 says, as for the earth, from it the earth comes bread. That's our topsoil, Randy. You know, we plant stuff out. How many of y'all planting things? Greg, did I see you was plowing up a field the other day? What you planting, brother? Don't know yet. Just got the ground broke up. There's a layer of soil on our ground. And Tammy, when he was on that tractor and that plow behind it, or you do it with a hoe or whatever you do it with, there's a layer there. And when you put seed in the ground and it gets the right light and the right moisture and the right time, it's going to produce bread for us. It's going to give us a harvest. That's where the topsoil layer is. Men can find bread in the earth. But underneath the earth, it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the sources of what? Sapphires. And it contains gold dust. Verse 7. This is under the earth. This is deep in the earth. A path that no bird knows, nor has the eagle or the falcon's eye seen it. No creature has seen this. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lions passed over it. So that's saying that where this gold and where this sapphire and this silver is at, the creatures, it's under their feet. They haven't come to it. Verse 9, man, he puts his hand on the flint and he overturns the mountains at the roots. Isn't that an image? Overturning the mountains at its roots, at its bases, what's underneath it. He cuts out channels in the rocks and his eye sees every precious thing. He can see it. And because he can see it, he goes after it. There's treasure under there. There's gold under those rocks. There's rubies and sapphires in those things. And then the scripture says in verse 11, he'll go to great extremes to dam up the streams from the trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. Even to this day, it's a picture of light being out in the California gold mine. They'll get in those creeks and those rivers and they'll dam those things up or strain those rivers to try to find a little gold that's come out of those waters and out of those mountains and made their way down. This picture of just what Job is doing is really helping us with this, is that because man sees something that he treasures, he will do whatever it takes, no matter how difficult, no matter how dangerous, no matter how deadly, to go get it. What men to do. All men, all of us. When I say men, I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about men and women as a whole. People as a whole. Whatever we treasure, that's where our heart will be. That's where we're going. That's what we're going after. Then he says in verse number 12, he's going to make Brandy a comparison. He's now going to contrast the fact that there's a place in this world, underneath the earth, in the streams, in the caverns, in the caves, there's a place, Brittany, to find this treasure. But now he asked the question, Keith. But where can wisdom be found? Now watch his answer. Watch what he helps us with. Now we believe Job was inspired, right? Amen. Who's leading Job in this word here? God is teaching us something. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And then he says this, verse 13. Man does not know its value. And when man don't know wisdom's value, guess what? They don't go to the extremes to glean it. Amen. They won't treat it like they will gold, or like a dollar, or like silver, or like rubies and pearls and stones, because they don't see its worth. They don't see its value. You know why Nick Holden won't search the Word of God, while Pat Riles won't go after the Lord? It's because we are finding treasure and value in something else. But when we know who possesses wisdom, when we know where it can be found, and we know its value and its treasure, we're willing to pay the price, the cost, whatever it takes to glean it and get to it. Amen? Amen. He says this, verse number 14. Well, I'm going to read verse 13 again. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. So on this earth, can you find wisdom? No. So no matter how deep you go in the earth, no matter what cavern, what cave you go into, no matter what field you go to, are you going to be able to find wisdom on this earth? not going to happen. The deep. What is the deep? The deep says it's not in me. The deep is picturing the sky, the heavens. The deep says it's not in me. Right now, they're spending billions of dollars to do what? Explore the heavens. To go to the stars. To go to Mars. Why? Because they believe, Keith, as we talked about this, they believe there's what? Treasure there. There's something there. So men will spend the money. They will risk their life. You know, that's pretty big risk to get in a shuttle or in a rocket and launch off toward Mars, don't you think? Amen. I mean, that's a risk. I'm not taking that risk, are y'all? How many of y'all would do it? How many of y'all fools would jump out of a plane? How many of y'all done it already? Man, look. Would you do it, Tommy? Would you jump out of a plane? Only if you had to, right? But people will. Why? Because they find a what? A thrill in it. It's a treasure to them. So they willing to do that. If that's you, that's good. Go for it. I ain't going for it. It's got to be going down for me to get out of it. Amen. But if it's flying all right, I'm staying in it. They will spend and spend and spend and spend and go. And what great achievements. Just think about that. The achievements of being able to put a man in space and that man live in space, to go up to a place where there's zero gravity and everything's moving at astronomical speeds and the dangers that are up there. I mean, hoorah for people that are willing to do that, willing to pay the price for it, just like those that are willing to go under the earth and try to find gold and treasure. But I will tell you this. The deep says, you might find something, but what you won't ever find is wisdom. Amen. In the deep. Another aspect, verse 15. Well, verse 14 again. The deep says, it's not in me. And then the what? The sea says, it's not with me either. You're not going to find it here. So here's a few things. I'm going to give you some preacher terms, some S words to remember. Wisdom ain't going to be found on this soil. Wisdom's not going to be found in the stones. Wisdom is not going to be found in the skies. And wisdom is not going to be found in the sea. That covers all that we know of what we know of an existence upon this earth. You're not going to find wisdom. If you could reach the sun and pierce the sun, you ain't going to find wisdom there. You're not going to find it in Mars. You're not going to find it in the deepest oceans and the caverns of the sea. Wisdom is not there. It's not in this earth that God has given and created for us to live. Verse 15 says, it cannot be what? You cannot purchase it for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir or the precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. So if you accumulated all the resources and the wealth of the world, there's not one, it could not purchase one ounce of wisdom. Amen. Then that, when we fathom that, Brother Shannon, when we ponder that, think about the adventures that people do to get wealth, but do so little to seek an ounce of wisdom from God. You see, what does this do? What is this? Just like Proverbs would do. Proverbs is very similar to like James. You ever reading in James and say, woe me, boy, I sure ain't living that way. You read the law and you realize, woe is me, I need Jesus. You read Proverbs and say, man, I've been acting like a... boy, I need Jesus, amen. You know what Job is doing? He's putting us as humanity in such a place to say, look, the things we treasure in this world have no eternal value to them now nor in the end. So what Job is doing is trying to shift the way we look at life, the way we look at things, who we look to in this life, and how we're to live then as we look to Him. And no matter what we possess or accumulate or have or own, no matter if we owned 1,000 acres and all the cattle on them, or 400,000 acres or whatever, 1,000,000 acres, if we owned it all, Brother Shannon, but lack an ounce of wisdom, which is found in Jesus, as the Scriptures would teach us, we'll lose it all, won't it? We'd lose it all. Scripture says, what can a man gain? If he gained the whole world, but lose his soul. Why? Because he never submitted his life to Him who created it all, who called it all into existence, who confines it all, who controls it all, that has invited us to come into a place of intimacy and fellowship with Him. You know, Proverbs, when Solomon started the writing of it, he said this, that I wrote this so that you could know wisdom and instruction. The word know is more than just having an intellectual understanding of a thing. It's to know it personally. It's to know it intimately. It's the fact that wisdom becomes a friend, a relative to me that I carry with me everywhere I go. She goes with me. Because she is guiding and governing. She's got my life gripped. And she's taken me places to walk with God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to know the Lord and His wisdom. Let's just go a little bit further before we wrap up and come back tonight. Verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? You see, wisdom is hidden from the eyes of who? All living. That is all living in the natural state. Wisdom is concealed from the birds of the air. They can't see it, even from their vantage point, Keith. When they fly, they can't find it. They can't see it. It's because it's not on here. It's not up there. They can't find it either. You think about an eagle with its keen eye, the things that it sees. You see all these hawks. There was a hawk flying over here yesterday. Just a holler. And there was a buzzard went by and a crow flew by. And that old hawk was just squealing out there. And I'm telling you, no more hawks can see a little bitty old mouse, or they can see a lizard running from way up there in the sky. They've got a keen eye to draw in. And even with their ability to see, they won't be able to find wisdom from there. It's concealed. Verse 22, destruction and death say, we heard a report about it with our ears, but they don't know where it's at either. So you've heard people say before, well, I'm just going to live life up, and when I die, I'll get to see God and I'll learn all things then. No, look, there's no wisdom on the other side if you don't walk in it on this side. Amen? Death ain't going to help you with it. Destruction ain't going to help us with it. That's not where it's at. And you got to have the wisdom in you, in me, before we ever meet the one who gives wisdom. So he says this. Verse 23, God understands it, wisdom's way, and He knows its place, for He looks to the ends of the earth, and He sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and a portion for the waters by measure. When He made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then He saw wisdom, or saw it, and declared it, and prepared it. Indeed, He searched it out, and to man He said, behold. What does that word behold mean? That's a faith word. I want you to see something you can't see naturally. He says, behold the fear of the Lord. That is what? Wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now here's a few notes in closing that we want to pick up on from this. We got rain coming in today. Carolyn says she don't like the bad weather, right? How many of us like bad weather? Well, let me ask you this question. Sandy, can we control the bad weather? Can we control the rain? Can we control the wind? Can we control any storm? Remember we was reading in Nahum, and Nahum says that the clouds are the what? Dust of his feet. They're reminders that God came through in the storm. Things that are what? Out of our control. We cannot control these elements. See, men in their reasoning and their resolve and their intellect, Tammy, they can go to great measures to the moon and back. They can go under the earth and into the sea. They can fly to the stars and go all over the world. They can control. Men, humanity can control things like digging for gold and for silver. And they can mine for it and do extraordinary things. But there is always the element in this life, things that are out of our control. Amen. And what God just brought out is this, Tommy, that look, men can't control the rain. They can't control the wind. They can't control the waters. They can't control any of those things. So what do we do when it rains? What do we do when the storms come? What we do when the floods rise up? We give place. We give place to those things we can't control. We yield to it. When the rains and the storms coming, Greg parks his dozer and his truck and his Tracco. When the rains are coming, Rusty stays at home or he greases and he works on his equipment. Why? Because those things are totally out of our control. We can predict what is coming. We can see it coming. But there's not one thing that we can do about it. Amen. Like right now, I was looking at the radar this morning to see about what time these storms were coming through. And I want to tell you, they are coming through whether we like it or not. Whether we get out of the way or not. There's not one thing that our government, that in all our powers, even though they're trying their best to do whatever they can to control the rain and the atmospheres and those things, that is out of humanity's control. But you know who does control it? The one who created it. Amen. The one who confined it. The one who commanded it to be. So when we give place to the rain, see, this is where wisdom's at. This is where the fear of the Lord is at. If you give place to that which is uncontrollable, that is where the wisdom of God comes in. Not that you give place to the rain and the winds and all that, but that you give place to Him who you can't control. You see, we can't control God's will, can we? We can't control God's purpose, can we? That's out of our what? You see, but when I realize that God has a design, that He's commanded things, that He's spoken things, that He wants to be a friend of mine, that He bought me and paid a price for me, when He's done that which I cannot control and He controls and confines and commands it all, you know what I do? I give place to Him. Amen. And when I give place to Him, the idea of the fear of the Lord, oh, that's where wisdom's at. Because when I give place to the Lord, then I begin having understanding of who He is. And you know what I do? I depart from a way that is of no value, of pouring my life in to find treasures on this earth that won't do me any good in the end. And I start pursuing Him. And I start pursuing His insight and His wisdom on how to live. Does that mean I still can't go into the mines? Not at all, but I go with a different perspective. Amen. I go with a different purpose. I go into things. I do. Does that change how we work and the things that we do? No, it just changes how I perceive everything in life. Why? Because now I've given place to Him who commanded it all, who created it all, who confines it all, who controls it all, and now I'm at His control. to do with me whatever he wants to do with me.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, that's where the wisdom then starts coming from above and filling our life up with being able to see things from God's perspective and no longer just from the perspective of humanity. Amen?
Amen.
So can you find wisdom around here? The only place you're going to find wisdom are in those who are wisely walking with the Lord. That's where Proverbs tells us this, Deborah, that wisdom cries out in the streets, in the concourses of life, where people gather for whom God has deposited his wisdom in because they viewed it the uncontrollable aspect of the will of God and the work of God and the ways of God and the wisdom of God. They've surrendered that and trusting him. They've given place to it. And now God's speaking into them, Miss Pat, and helping them. And when they speak and they speak for God, I can hear the voice of God in their wisdom, in God's wisdom, helping me in this life on how to live and walk with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So no, it's not found in the soil. It's not found in the stones. It's not found in the skies. And it's not found in the sea. Oh, but it is found in the servants of God. The servant of God who trusts and walks with the Lord and has given place to him who controls the uncontrollable, that we have yielded place unto him. And oh, the difference he makes in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, to him be the glory. Do you need his wisdom?
Yes.
More than Adam needed a woman. Amen? We need his wisdom. Have you operated without it?
Yes.
Have you been a fool?
Wrong.
Have you operated foolishly? There's not a single person alive that has not been a fool and lived foolishly in this world. When we attempted to walk through this world as if we had control, the scripture says, wise therefore in the hand of a fool the purchase price for wisdom. You see, it's available even for the fool. But the fool can't see it because the fool thinks his way is better. And oh, but the man that fears God, who gives place to him, understands, hey, all this is out of my control. But I'll submit to him who controls it all. And let him govern and grip and guide my life through his wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
To him be the praise. Father, we thank you today. We ask you to help us with these things right now, that, Lord, you will continue to speak into us and give us wisdom, that we would evaluate and examine our own journey of what we're willing to risk and the dangers that we're willing to go through, the time that we're willing to invest in those things that wisdom can't be found in. And the only way that wisdom is brought to those things is through the people for whom have given place to you. And you have deposited that sound wisdom in us. So, Lord, that's why we wait on your mercy. Because apart from you bringing to us and revealing in us and teaching us how to see things and perceive things in life, Lord, we're going to mess it all up. So therefore, we are at your mercy today to hear from you, to hear from you. So help us as we're willing to seek and risk it all for your name, for your glory, for your good, for your kingdom. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple notes as you think about this, as you read through Proverbs, just continue to watch how Solomon says these words, my son, that's that relational connection that we see, that we want to connect with the Father, as he speaks to us. My son, something you're going to pick up on the first seven chapters is predominantly written toward men and their role, because when men are right and walking uprightly in the wisdom of God in a society, the society is utterly different than when men drop the ball and are not in position to be wise servants for the glory of God. That's why you see in these first seven chapters so much about this relational connection with this wisdom, to walk with the Lord, to stay connected to Him, so that we can be the servants and the men that He's called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, I love y'all. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking up. Keep walking with Him. Keep checking in on your brethren. And may the Lord fill us all up with Himself and with His rich wisdom. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You today again and just want to praise You. Thank You for this time we've had to gather. We ask You to bless Your people. Help us as we walk with You, as we go out on this mission field, given the assignment that You've given us. May we be those voices of Your wisdom in the streets, and may we help those that don't have a clue, those that are in a position to glean and learn and walking with wise and a humble heart, that, Lord, we'll be able to pour in them, they'll be able to pour in us, and that we could all grow together and do what You've called us to do in these days that we live. So thank You, we praise You, and give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.